Welcome to CCO Behind the Scenes, an Oyster Stew podcast mini-series. I'm Jeffrey Hiller, Managing Director at Oyster Consulting, former Senior Counsel for the SEC's Division of Enforcement, and I've also served as CCO at many well-known global investment firms. I've seen both sides, I've been on both sides, and I literally helped write the textbook for U.S. modern regulatory compliance. Being CCO is more than just checking boxes. There are office politics to navigate, nuances to deal with regulators and board members, and of course, ethical issues. Join me as I share my real experiences and lessons learned from my decades in the industry. Some things you just won't get from a textbook. Last episode, I talked about tone at the top, SEC exam document protection, and how to use exceptions to your advantage, and some effective ways to communicate with your board. This time, I'd like to talk about repeat violations and escalating issues. When you review past issues, you've got to identify whether you have any repeat violations. If you were sort of given a deficiency letter or notified something about the SEC a year or 2 years ago, you should put that in your annual compliance report. And you should routinely, maybe once or twice a year, make a list of all prior violations to make sure they're still fixed. It wouldn't be unusual with people going on vacations, with personnel training, that they can get lost. And it's not for a bad purpose, but just in the normal course, you do so much that sometimes you lose sight of those things. And so I make a routine list of all past violations, and then I review them at least once a year. And I also report to the board or my bosses or whatever that these were prior violations, that that's probably the most serious kind of sanction you can have with the SEC, and then we're on top of it. That engenders both trust from your bosses, and when the SEC comes in, they see that we are routinely incorporating what they've said over the last 3, 4, 5 years, or however long since the last exam or during the course of exams. And that, again, gives you a lot of credibility. So that is one tip that I would encourage everyone to do. Another topic I'd like to briefly discuss is escalation. And when you escalate an issue to your boss or to the board or to others. Many times I've had a staff member come to me with a panic. We have an awful trade error and we need to notify everyone immediately. It is critical and we could lose a lot of money. And one time I brought such an issue and escalated it quickly, and it turned out that it wasn't such a serious issue and that my employee was right in flagging it to me, but I was probably wrong in escalating it until I understood all the facts. And so I dig into those facts, I look at what we have, I vet it, and of course you want to escalate these things in a timely manner, but you don't want to either over-escalate or under-escalate. So when you bring something to higher superiors or others in the firm, you want to make sure you understand all the facts. And if you have the time, you also want to understand what the solution is. I've always been guided by a boss who told me that I want you to identify problems, but when you bring them to me, I also want you to have some solutions if you can. And so that's been a really important part of how I manage compliance and how I escalate matters. I would talk about one time when I had a case where a portfolio manager in Asia, one of our portfolio managers, committed a trade error and overbought something unintentionally. Selling it would cost us about $500,000 as a trade error. So the first thing I did was scope out what was done. And the second thing I did was look at all her emails to see if she had discussed these and to see what the problem was. And one of the important things I found at firms is many firms charge trade errors back to the bonus pool of the unit that caused them. So if a trader made a big error, that would probably be charged if they were in fact negligent and they should have done other things. That would likely be charged against your bonus pool. And so from the get-go, you have people who have a financial interest in it not being a trade error. In Asia, it's particularly troublesome because a lot of Asian securities commissions don't really recognize trade errors. They think that it's part of the way people do business, that of course they're going to make minor errors, but most of the firms I've been with don't treat it that way. They take them all seriously, and if they've made a mistake, they want to gross up their clients so that they don't have a problem. And so I was faced in that case with competing interests. And what the email showed was that the trader tried to reverse the trade and cover it up with their counterpart at the executing broker. When I saw all those, it became pretty clear to me that we had to make it whole. It was pretty clear to the trading unit that they didn't want to make it whole because it was $500,000. And so we met with the CEO and I let everybody express their concern. And then I presented everyone in the room with a fact sheet of about 5 to 6 bullet points, which set forth that this was our error, that we tried to cover it up, that we tried to make it go, that even though Asia law might have some way, that we need, based on our reputation and our integrity and our promises to our clients, that we had to repay that money. And the CEO listened to everybody, took the sheet, looked at it, and then looked at the trading group and said, "We've listened to all the arguments. You made an error. We're going to reimburse our clients." Now, that process took probably 2 weeks. And it's not a good idea to have trade errors hanging out that long. But everybody needed to have a voice. And at the end of the day, even though my people were panicking, why this is an easy compliance call, it's not so easy when you understand the circumstances. But we all got to the right result. Thanks for listening, and I hope you found this helpful. If you like what you heard, make sure to follow the Oyster Stew podcast on whatever platform you listen to. Oyster consultants are industry practitioners. We aren't career consultants. We've done your job and know the issues you face. If you'd like to learn how we help firms start, run, and protect and grow their business, visit our website at www.oysterllc.com.